Hey guys, this is part two of our conversation with Garrett Watts. Make sure you listen to part one if you haven't heard it yet. Hope you like it.
Yeah, you can do that to yourself if you want.
Are your parents as creative or are they as like internet-y? I know it's a different generation, but like what's the through line? Is there a through line? Is it random? You know,
I laugh because I think internet parents are really funny.
Yeah.
People who, when they see their kid getting online, they're like, me too.
Right. Totally.
I'm not hating on it. I'm laughing because I genuinely just think it's really funny. Like moms being like, my new Target hole.
Totally.
All right. So I got some new cups.
My dad is very creative. He was a singer still sings. He had like a record and stuff. And he was like, my dad has a wild past. He was like Michael Jackson's bodyguard for a little while.
Wow. Wild.
Yeah. Well, he worked at Disney in like investigation. So he would like the celebrity of the week, he would have to be like paired with them to like watch
that's
them.
And cool.
So he had all these crazy stories with like, you know, singing like harmonies with Michael Jackson or like in the car or like with Mariah Carey and like, you know, Eddie Murphy and all these different people.
Wow. So he should be our next guest.
Yeah.
He's got the wildest tales. So yeah, my dad was, he's worked a billion jobs in his life. He was very, what do they call it? Like a insect of just working a billion different jobs. But he's got an interesting past. And my mom is the most lovely person on the planet. But no, I wouldn't say particularly creative, but in her own way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I suppose. That's
do they share this like, don't think of, you're not trying to plan ahead to a certain extent. Or, you know, do they share that same kind of like ethos?
Oh, sure. My family. I love my family so much. I'm so obsessed with my family. And they're all very just like by the cuff of our, pants. Is that the phrase?
I have no idea.
By the seat of their pants?
Oh, yeah. We're all just maniacs. I'll just be like, Christmas in like a cabin or something. And my brother will just like tackle me and we'll just be like fighting on the ground. But it's all love. And
do you think
like,
that contributed
goofy.
To your like... skills and abilities and happiness and freeness?
Oh, directly.
Yeah.
I would almost attribute that like way more so than anything. Having just beautiful, bright, loving energy around me my whole life and having nothing but people be supportive and cool. I mean, that's a shocking thing. And I'm sure everyone in this space right now can relate with this idea that like, it's a really strange thing when you're young, you're in your teenage years, your 20s and stuff. And I'd say more teenage years. And everyone's cheering for you. Hopefully that's the case for most people. And then you enter the real world and you go, oh shit, there's villains.
Right.
And sometimes they don't show it at first and then they do. And you get woke to that pretty quick. But it is interesting to go like, whoa, not everyone's cheering for me. In fact, some people are really insidious.
Right.
Or like some people can kind of, and it's weird because they can really easily get into your mind or behind your skull because you just think everyone's cheering for you. And then you go, oh, wait, no, I have to build some kind of protective, like, I have to go, like, full Scarlet Witch on their asses. Yeah, that's for you, Mark. You have to kind of create your energy fields. And
people discover that at different times.
Right.
Yeah,
some people, like, I feel like age 11 are already catching on to, like, the darkness of other people.
Yeah, I think that that's, like, kind of
people,
the
like,
best
20.
Scenario is, I totally know what you mean. Like, if, like, sometimes I feel like my parents, I have such, like, a lovely, stable household that I think, in a strange way, it almost set me up to where... any instability feels like the end of the world because I had so much stability, which is the best case scenario. I mean, that's an amazing situation to be born into.
Yeah.
You know, but it is like kind of terrifying when you realize, like, my brother just had a baby and his wife just had a baby. And I'm just like, you guys are deciding her life. It's so the power of the world that you create for your kids. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's overwhelming.
I've got this very, dare I say, like immature idea of like, I don't ever want to like be responsible for anything that eats. Like,
I feel like that too. I don't want to have a pet because I don't want to think about it dying.
I know. Yeah. I feel that way sometimes, but I also, because of the whole my family like always supporting me and like you were just saying, it directly affected your happiness. That makes me want to have a family.
Well, that's nice.
I'm like, I want to raise a bunch of kids and like have this like bright family life.
And that's beautiful. That should be so
lucky
encouraged.
You. Well, no, I want that too. Yeah.
It's very emotionally responsible. We're very happy for you.
Yeah.
Over here with our commitment issues.
But I'm also like, what about in like 10 years?
Yeah. This is kind of a similar question, but we ask this to a lot of people. If there's one person in your life that is most responsible for your success other than you, who would you think it would be?
Wow, that's such an interesting question. One person responsible for my success other than myself.
Whether that's something they taught you or or they actually were involved.
I'm going to get a little typical with this answer, but my mom,
Yeah.
Who is just the most blindingly bright person on the planet. I know it's a little bit of a specific answer because it's like, oh, no one knows my mom necessarily.
No, that's
but
great.
No matter what was happening, if there was an earthquake and everything fell down, not that this ever happened, but if there was like an earthquake and everything fell down and we didn't know where we were going to eat the next day or anything, no matter what happened, my mom made everything fun. Mm.
Yeah.
Everything. Wow. Well, I mean, there were times when we were very like, you know, I had a good childhood, but there were times where we were definitely like not sure what was going to happen next, where we were going to move, what was going on, you know, childhood divorce, things got really rough and like that. In the early 2000s. And no matter what was happening though, my mom was just blindingly bright. There is nothing that she couldn't make fun or beautiful.
Wow.
So
that's
I
so
find
powerful.
Yeah, so I find that one that's of my amazing. Greatest strengths in this in this city or as a person is my ability just to connect with other people and to remind them that like it's not so serious.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to complain about this. Just enter with fun, beauty, light, cool, fun energy and have a good time and ride that wave.
Yeah, and you resonate that. Like, even without saying it directly, you resonate that. I think that's why I'm so obsessed with everything you make.
Aww.
Because you do, like...
Absolutely.
Give that message.
I was going to also ask if that optimism, I mean, we kind of talked about it, but if that optimism and brightness in you is innate, sounds like maybe you just inherited it, or do you have to work at it? Or is it something you've learned? Like, do you have a practice for maintaining that kind of brightness?
Yeah, that's really sweet, Tess. Thank you. I definitely feel like it's innate. Yeah, it comes to me and I'm very glad. I don't know what coping mechanisms I have in my head or how it happens or if I just block out dark stuff. But yeah, no, I feel like it's really, I know this, I don't want to sound insensitive to anyone or anything, but I sometimes don't even understand why people don't see how cool life is. Like, I could just, like, I'm looking at a tree right now because we're outside that I could just hang out with all day. There is so much happening in that tree. There are so many insects, so many things growing, so many things to learn about it, the roots. But like, there are so many cool things about
curiosity.
These tiny details in life. And like, the biggest curse word in the entire book for me is the word bored. It's something I avoid. I don't say it. I don't understand it when other people say it because my question to that is always, how can you be bored? I don't understand.
Yeah. That's like Taddy's mom always says when Taddy would ever complain about being bored, her mom would say, you're not bored, you're being boring.
That is interesting.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting about what we just said is I have days where I'm like staring at a tree and just fascinated.
Yeah.
And then I have days where I'm bored. So I have the whole range there.
Yeah, me too,
And it's, that's what I mean. I sometimes can't go like, oh yeah, I don't get it because it's like, maybe it's just my mind. I don't know because I definitely understand that there's things that do come naturally and don't come naturally to me. Mm-hmm. Like I don't deal with a lot of anxiety and that's okay to say. Like, you know, it's just a fact and I'm really
happy for you.
That's nice. I try to learn more about it and try to stay really sensitive to it.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll see like a TikTok that talks about people who have anxiety and I'll send it to a friend and be like, is this it? Like, help me understand it more, you know, because I don't know. I think, but it comes pretty naturally. It's a tricky question for me to answer because I'm like, I don't know. I don't really want to think about it. Anyway, like, let's go.
I relate to you in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because
you don't want to look at some, you don't want to stare a horse in the mouth or whatever that saying is.
You and your quotes.
She just alludes to like 40% of the quote and goes, wasn't that profound?
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. It's a quote. Look it up.
I laugh because I do that all the time of just like, you know, it's like that phrase like
be yourself.
Something about a beehive or something when you take it down. I don't know. Anyways,
it was really I feel like my whole life my parents were really positive. My mom, I related to you when you said that your mom is always like fun and happy. And then like I started to realize darkness later in life, but I was always extremely positive and avoided confrontation. And I liked that about myself. But actually recently I've been thinking I need to be able to deal with darker emotions. And I feel like there's a toxicity to my relentless positivity. Do you feel that you're like that sometimes? Or do you just literally feel positive?
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry. Can you ask it again?
So I'm asking if you feel, because I feel personally that I'm like too positive sometimes and not dealing with darker emotions. And I'm wondering
if you're masking something with positivity.
Thank you for rephrasing that. That's super important. So like, because there is a certain sort of positivity that I see a lot on the internet that I hate to throw this word around, but it comes off as sort of quote unquote cringe. Because it's this very sort of like, wake up and do this thing today and I believe you and I love you. This sort of positive thing to where I'm like, stop. That's not doing anyone any favors, because true positivity does have a side of darkness and also has a side of defensiveness too. Mm-hmm. Mm. Because again, this is for Mark over here. You have to go full WandaVision. You have to go full Scarlet Witch sometimes on containing energies and blasting them into the sky. And sometimes just straight up Thanos decimating them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a part of positivity, which I've learned, is a certain sense of not only defensiveness, but offensiveness sometimes. Mm. To be like, you know what? You've shown your colors and you don't deserve to be in my life. And then you get those red things going on in your hands, right? Like Scarlet Witch and just... But yeah, so I have learned that sometimes, and you can definitely get there with people. I mean, yeah. With the people that I'm closest with in my life, they know that it's not always like, yeah, I'm a dynamic person just because right. I'm forwardly... very optimistic and mm-hmm. positive, which is definitely a real thing. There's also different sides of me too that are definitely very... assertive when it comes to putting those things in their place and being really protective of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm always doing little mental energy exercises in certain environments. Like, mm-hmm. if I go into a place that I don't want it to affect me, like, I'll straight up, like, visualize, like, a sort of, like, bubble over myself. And when you find yourself doing that a lot, you go, man, I'm not in the right place in my life.
Yeah, yeah. That's an amazing answer.
That's amazing.
Was it?
No, it was great. And that actually, like, brought me comfort because mm-hmm. I do feel... that way sometimes. Do you ever feel like certain energies overtake you?
You know what? I feel like everyone is susceptible to that. And mm-hmm. The answer would be no. I feel like definitely they can convince you for a long time.
Yeah.
But like, I always feel like a sense of autonomy and groundedness is something that, for, I don't know why I have it, but I feel like I do. I'm always able to kind of see it no matter how.
Well, we had a Harry Potter quiz that I found online. That's an amazing skill to have.
It's everyone. It's so funny. My friend Vaughn, the one I brought up earlier, mm-hmm. the wonderful singer Vaughn Smith, he has a song called Pilot Light. And I love the analogy that he makes in it, because he says everyone has a pilot light inside of them. And sometimes it gets really, really dim. And sometimes it burns really, really bright. Mm-hmm. When you're doing your best, you're feeling your best, everything. And sometimes it's like really dim when you're in the worst places in your life. Mm-hmm. But his theme of the song is like, don't worry, because the pilot light never goes out. It's always there.
I love that.
And sometimes, pilot light is something, if people don't know, sorry, I realize that's a weird thing to say. It's like in heaters and stuff. Yeah. It's a little flame that's literally in like most houses in America.
This is always on.
Yeah, you turn up the gas and then it goes. I love that analogy so much. And I think about it when people ask me something like that. Because I go like, that sense inside of me, of course it can get dim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, time to turn up the gas. Mm-hmm. But where people... let that energy defeat them and their pilot light can be dim for months, years, even decades, mm-hmm. is when they don't realize that they are in charge of turning up the gas.
Yeah.
And sometimes they need to do the work mm-hmm. in order to get that gas going again, because putting in the work in order to feel optimistic is something that a lot of people don't do. You're not subservient to these energies at all times. If you realize I am not in a good place spiritually, which mm-hmm. is something I've realized so many times, don't just woe is me about it. Don't just blindingly express that to people.
Or panic.
Or play a victim or panic or do this. Just breathe deep. Realize that you can put in the work and you'll be fine. And sometimes putting in the work is going to the bookstore and going to the self-development section, browsing books, pulling that off the shelf, writing in it for a week. Do it, all these different things. Meditation, making music, whatever. Mm-hmm. People have different versions of doing the work. But mm-hmm.
That's a comforting mindset to think like,
you
can feel dark for a long amount of time. But there's still that light there.
You're okay.
Like, don't worry, that light's not out.
And of course, I think, everybody has a different, like you've been saying this whole time, like kind of has a different mind. Like mm-hmm. you're kind of given a different disposition. And I think the work might be different for different people. Like mm-hmm. the work might be medication for some people.
Yeah,
the work,
exactly.
You know what I mean? It's some kind of, I do think there is like a lot of, I like the feeling of control and being like, this is in my hands. I recently started meditating again. I stopped because I think it's, boring. But
no,
I thought it's so boring. But
it's not boring.
Transcending your mind.
Listen, that's why I'm doing it, because I need it, because it's good for me.
I'm in the middle. I meditate every day, but it's like 5 to 10 minutes. I don't do the 60 minutes thing.
That's by the way, very impressive that you meditate. No, therapy, meditation, those things are incredible. And the fact that you do it every day, man. That's incredible. Talk about putting in the work to stay.
Oh, thank you.
That's great.
We had a Harry Potter quiz that I found online.
I also really wanted you to guess which houses you think.
That is interesting. I'm a big fan of that sort of idea. So here's what everyone just like clicking away from this podcast. Like, oh, great. It's talking about Harry Potter. No, I'm joking. I love when people tell me like, I took that quiz. I'm like, a quiz tells you nothing about what house you're in. You took a random internet quiz that was put together by some developer who probably didn't even like Harry Potter and was just like, okay, just give him the randomized answer.
No, it's a feeling inside, isn't it?
Your heart tells you what house you're in.
I don't need a quiz to know which house I'm in.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And let me guess. Wow, this is interesting.
Oh, I'm
dude.
So excited.
I feel like my house, I identify with all of them in a certain way.
No,
I
you are like, the one that you told me you are.
I feel like everyone can identify with every house. There are personality traits we all have in
there's one calling your name.
But there is one that calls my name, which I want you to guess before I say
that. Is so, I'm trying to really tap into it. Because yeah, you got this, it's interesting. It's not right away.
I love that.
Now, before I say this, though, I really love, and honestly, I wish that JK would have done this more in the books or in the movies or something. I wish she would have made Slytherins more. I wish there would have been more hero Slytherins.
I agree.
Because I hate it.
I think so.
But I think Snape is kind of the biggest hero.
Now, that's a great point.
I mean, he kind of takes the cake.
You're right. You're right. I just honestly, I like wanted one of the Golden Trio to be like a Slytherin because I just love, you're right, Snape. That's a really good point about Snape. But I really love the idea of like, you know, in the movies when it's like, oh, the Slytherins go down to the dungeons. I was like, that sucks. Like when they're doing the final battle.
No, I love Slytherins. I have a lot of Slytherins in my life. Yeah.
So it's really interesting. So I don't like the villainization because at first I was going to be like, I might be getting that vibe, but no, I don't think so.
Well, I mean,
no. I'm not sticking with it. I think it's Ravenclaw. I think it's Ravenclaw.
Oh my gosh. It's funny. You're the first person ever who said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, people, the Ravenclaw house is really misunderstood. And I'll tweet it.
No, growing up, I got Slytherin a lot because I was always like hustling, anything to get to the top.
It's that sense of ambition.
Which is like insane. I've always been like the most ambitious of like my friends growing up.
Yeah.
And then I got a little bit of Gryffindor because I like to like lead the room and like make things comfortable. But then I feel like I'm a Hufflepuff. That's how I identify.
Interesting.
Because the loyalty and like the...
And it's also so creative.
Just the goofiness.
You feel like a Hufflepuff to me, but listen, you're the expert here.
But no. So. You are the experts. You have your own hearts and your own minds.
What do you think I am?
Oh.
I'm hard. You really don't know me.
No, it's...
That's
I know.
Why it's so fun.
Yeah, it's really new. I would honestly... Why do I want to assign you both Ravenclaws? What's happening?
I'm a Ravenclaw.
Yeah,
I'm definitely a Ravenclaw.
I'm not like as studious as Ravenclaws. That's the thing. I always take shortcuts when it comes to learning things.
Dude, I'm sticking with my instinct that I do think Slytherin. And again, I love the Slytherin people.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I do see that.
Yeah. I can see it.
My bandmates are like Slytherin 100%. Yeah. They know me better than anyone.
But so I don't know if it's like, I mean, it's in like all my social media bios.
You're a Hufflepuff.
I'm so.
I didn't even need your bio to feel that energy.
Yeah, I'm very Hufflepuff. It's
wait,
like,
why are Ravenclaws misunderstood also?
Well, I think that actually people think what Ravenclaws are is actually kind of what Hufflepuffs are because Ravenclaws are super open to like curiosity and stuff and experimentation and like right brain thinking and stuff. And a lot of people kind of have them switched in a weird way. Hufflepuff and Ravenclaw are weirdly like when you look up the traits, you're like, when I read the thing for Ravenclaw, I was like, wait a minute. Am I a Ravenclaw? because they're not these analytical like A+ people. They're actually like crazy. They have like a lot of different sides to them. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm Hufflepuff because I love the idea of like just vibing by like the Great Lake. And I'm like wearing like Muggle headphones. And they're like, what's those devices on your heads? And I'm like, it's Kendrick Lamar. Just chill out. Like, you know, drink this and just vibe with me. Like we're so go with the flow kind of, you know. The Hufflepuff energy is something I very much identify with.
Yes, I see it for you too.
I see it
that.
For you too.
But I love your Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter as well.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. It's such a, I have like so many like wands and different things. And it's for me, it's I love keeping my imagination alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really hate, and I don't want to use the word hate, but I really question highly and sort of slightly despise when people say like people have childlike energies.
Mm-hmm.
When they're like, oh, you're like a man child. It's not that I take offense to
right.
that. But it's just like, what does that mean?
Right.
Yeah. To be deeply curious.
It almost feels shamey in a way.
Yeah. Right. To be a childlike energy, to be like curious and enamored with stuff and love things unapologetically. It's like,
totally.
Stop aligning that with a child. You can be an adult and love things.
All right, you guys, it's time for my sweet angel of a boyfriend / our mixologist on the show, Mark Manio, to make a drink.
Time for a drink. Maybe Scott's boyfriend. Time to get wasted.
The drink is Polyjuice Potion, but now I kind of want to rename it to the Scarlet Witch Punch.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, that's perfect, Mark. Thank you.
I can't wait.
This is great.
Should we ask our final three questions?
Let's do it.
We ask these same three questions to every guest.
Sure.
And the first is, what does success mean to you?
Sure. Yeah, success means feeling too good when you go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Success means being able to take a break. Success means being able to play video games and watch movies mm-hmm. and do what you love to do and hang out with your friends and be able to leave your work in a certain place in your head and be able to put up those boundaries. That is success to me.
Mm.
Because, you know, sort of the death of a creative, or not the death, but the dimming of the pilot light, as we discussed,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
sometimes radically, is when you just cannot draw those lines. Like in Soul, when it's like when you go from that place of being in the zone to becoming that dark creature who is completely consumed by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So success for me is doing what you do, loving it, keeping your curiosity piqued, and doing the work that you need to do in order to maintain that, and not being swallowed and consumed by what you do, but instead just inviting it into your life as an aspect of what you do and keeping a healthy relationship with it. That's success. Not money, not anything, not the right. house you have, none of mm-hmm. that stuff. You know, I just... Keeping soul power is success for me. Keeping that soul power.
I love
that's
that.
An amazing answer.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks.
That spoke right to my soul.
Me, to my soul power.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. People, and it's easy to deaden it, man. It's so easy to fall for stuff. Like, I'm not hating on fashion. I love fashion. I think it's really cool. But you know, the way that people start to like wear Gucci mm-hmm. and Balenciaga and this and this and this and this.
Right.
It's okay to own some pieces like that. But like, I love the idea of just being like, why?
Right.
It's okay to have. It's okay if you have a pair of Gucci shoes mm-hmm. or something. That's fine.
Yeah.
But like, why? Why the weird obsession with it? Why the weird this? Why
status
this?
Status symbol.
This?
Why the obsession with the status symbol?
And I can be victims to that. I like to wear really nice stuff, but then I also am obsessed with wearing like.
I think for me, it's more like it feels like a creative choice. Like it's fun when it's fashion is like, this is something that I just feel represents me and it's fun. Like, we were talking to, oh my God, have you guys seen the Francis? Oh my God. Razzie,
Fran
you got this.
Leibowitz.
Thank you, Leibowitz. Have you watched it?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh,
it's on my little list.
Oh, you guys, you gotta watch it. I'm obsessed with it.
Is it?
Yeah, it's so, she's unbelievable. She's just, I mean, in a way, she's the opposite of you. She's like kind of like the ultimate pessimist,
yeah.
but in a way that's kind of like equally charming, I would say. Like it's, like she's, but in a way that you'll, I think you'll, she's charming and she's, her pessimism is like full of joy somehow.
No, that's interesting. That's an interesting. I'm reading this book right now about cynicism, and the roots of cynicism and pessimism are not what people really think they are in a strange way. They're actually like, they kind of expose things for what they are, and they can be approached more responsibly as opposed to just blindingly painting them as one thing. So
yeah,
I can understand that.
I think you'll
energy.
Like it. I'd be actually be really, really curious what you thought about it.
Well, I'll text you.
But
I'll watch it and I'll text you.
She talks about this thing where she's like this heady, smart writer, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I think that doing something because it's fun is one of the greatest reasons ever. She's like saying because you think it's like you should or because like
that's
it's
great.
But when she's like it's fun. Someone's like, why do you like parties? Because they're fun.
Yeah.
Why do you do this? Why do you dance? Because it's fun. She's like, I love that reason. It's such a good reason. And I've been thinking about that because I think so much of the time in our lives we're like there has to be a or at least especially for me I'm like there has to be a. reason or progress or something you're learning. And I'm like, no, fun's a pretty good reason to do stuff, you know?
Yeah. you know that moment in movies and stuff that's a little bit typical, but it's very real when like you have some adult who's like in his 30s or 40s or something who goes like, wait a minute, I wanted to be this. What have I done with my life?
Yeah.
Right, in 100 movies before.
Yeah.
That's a really real thing.
Yeah.
When people get caught up in the game and they forget, I liked anime. I liked video games.
Right.
Yeah. I liked going on walks. I liked doing those things. Those can get buried by life. And the scary thing, and you see this happen a lot in a lot of like films like Spirited Away and different fantasy movies. Everything that's fiction is all tied to real life. Like when she starts to forget her parents' names and Spirited Away. When you start to like be overtaken by the spell of something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some of your best traits, and this is dark for anyone listening, this is true, so be careful. Some of your favorite traits about yourself, you are likely to forget someday. If you don't work on them, if you don't work on keeping them alive.
Yeah.
So it kind of brings me back around to that. I love her idea about that because there is a moment, like I've done it. Everything
I've done it too.
I say.
I've been victim to that a little
bit. Absolutely.
We all are. Everything I say, nothing is coming from this place of like, I'm the model example of this. I fight this battle every day.
For sure.
Right.
Like I watched a movie the other night called A Streetcar Named Desire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what were you doing? You haven't watched a movie like this in like 6 months. What is wrong with you? You have not sat down, put your phone away. And given this movie the stage.
Yep.
Yeah, and you think you're not in the mood for a movie.
Yeah.
But then the second you start watching, you're like, I'm having so much fun.
And,
right.
And when you really bring into question, what was going to bury this? What was going to take precedent over watching this movie?
Yeah.
Browsing TikTok?
Yeah.
Being self-conscious about what I'm not doing in life? Screw that. Submit to those energies.
Totally.
Give things the stage and just like love them. And
I love that. Yeah.
I don't even know where I got with
no,
that.
Yeah, no, like, fun. Like what are the things that are fun to you?
It was
do
so
them.
Easy when we were kids. I just like played video games all the time and like
yeah.
totally.
I never really overthought what I was doing or what I liked.
Why you liked it. Absolutely.
Adulthood has to be, you have to tread softly and you have to be really careful about the energies you invite into your life with adulthood.
Absolutely.
You got to keep them in check too. So, because there's a lot of stuff that can come in and bury those things, but just like calibration. And I think why I'm so impressed with the fact that you meditate, Scott, is awesome, because meditation is that, I would say, like one of the top five tools ever that we have as humans in order to keep that calibration finely tuned.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think that's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. That was the greatest answer to that question ever.
I feel high from
The second question we ask everybody is, what would you tell yourself at your lowest?
Your past self.
Your past self.
All right. Just don't got to go. Let me just go to 2019 real quick. Not that far. No.
It was yesterday.
Yeah. It just turns into like 3-hour podcast. No. What would I tell myself at my lowest? Holy smokes. Honestly, if you don't mind my cop-out answer, just like what I kind of just said, just like, dude, keep yourself alive. Stop it. This stuff doesn't matter. I'm a huge a fan of like, it's going to get weird territory, I swear. I'm really into like the Memento Mori, like Stoic philosophy of like, it's a very like death positive. I keep a lot of skulls around my place. There's this beautiful artist named Jack of the Dust. He has, he makes these gorgeous art piece skulls. They're not real skulls. Get on top of that. They're really cool. But his whole idea, I love keeping that ideology around me. I'm not a gothic person. I'm not a morbid person. Right. I think it's incredible. The whole like death positive movement and everything.
But I'm writing a whole musical about death positive. Yeah.
Do you know who The Good Death is on YouTube, Caitlin?
No.
Oh my God. She's a friend of mine.
That'd be good research.
She's a mortician. She's a funeral. She makes amazing YouTube videos called like, her videos are kind of in the morbid space of like, what happens to a body when it's buried for 50 years? But
honestly, interesting.
Yeah.
And Markiplier and Ethan Nestor just did that Memento Mori channel that was Eunice Onnes, if I'm saying it correctly on YouTube.
I don't know.
This idea is coming up more and more in the world. And I think that that's a really cool thing because at the end of the day, we're all going to be space dust. It's just how it goes, right? So I always attach to that, and I'm just like, dude, stop it. When you're on your deathbed, you're not going to be thinking about like this weird upload that you didn't meet in time based on this and this. You're going to be thinking of the good stuff, the memories, laughing with friends, drinking on a terrace.
Nothing's going to matter in the end.
At 2 p.m. And now this is not a cynical ideology at all. This is so not like
that's terrifying and liberating.
No, it's the opposite. It's I mean, it is kind of what you just said before. It's the fun thing. A little bit like, sometimes it's as simple as like, do what feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of seems like my answer to like what I would tell myself my lowest. It would be kind of like a weird blend of like, dude, this isn't what you're going to be thinking about someday. And also to get out of this, put in the work. Because a lot of people, when they get in that hole, when they hit that bottom, they just flounder at the bottom and they scream and go, oh, I'm at the bottom. I'm at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Someone make me feel better. That stuff is temporary. Mm-hmm. That's a Band-Aid on a 10-inch laceration.
Totally.
You need to put in the work.
You put in the work. It's true. I mean, I love that. A little bit of tough love. I'm a big fan of tough love. But it's like, it is very empowering to be like, a lot of this, I mean, believe me, I know bad things happen every day to people who don't deserve them. Yep. And there is so many different mountains that people have to climb. But there is a certain amount of control we have over how we feel if we pay attention to ourselves and what we need.
Oh, yeah. I try to recognize all those things too. Privilege and, you know, things like that too, of people in different circumstances. Yeah. I really keep myself in check with that a lot and like remember to stay. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not one of these people who's like, if you're feeling bad, just rub some dirt on it.
Yeah.
It's like, but to a degree, and in most circumstances, that is good information. That's a good thing to realize of like, dude, it's okay to be like, you're not always going to be like this. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Put in the work, meditate, do what you got to do, go to therapy. And you're going to be okay, I promise. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people don't really do the math on bad situations. And what I mean by that is my friend, I bring up Andrew Swicky a lot because he's like one of my closest friends in the world. And I bring him up a lot because he told me this really beautiful thing that his therapist told him about was this idea that when you're in a dark situation, I think I'm kind of paraphrasing the situation. Sorry if you're listening to this, Andrew, and going like, that's not really how it happened. But you know, his therapist told him like, listen, if it took you a year and a half to get into a dark situation, how long do you think it's going to take you to get out?
Yeah.
And of course, our minds, because we're so attached to books like the 5-minute happiness hack.
Right, yeah.
So we want to think, oh, we'll be fine by tomorrow.
Yeah, throw away clutter and you're good.
I'll tell you how long it's going to take. It's going to take a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And of course, that can be sped up or slowed down in some cases. But it's nice to look at that math of human emotions and go, you know what? I got into this rut. It took me this long, and I need to do the work to get out of this too.
And also, maybe to be appreciative for the work, what you're learning in the process. Like,
yeah,
that year and a half, like, is going to be full of like lessons that are probably going to make you a better parent in 10 years or better, you know, whatever. It's like it's to find the, because I'm an optimist too, and I like to find the good even in the painful times. You know,
it's so good to be kind to yourself too in those moments. Just be nice to yourself. Yeah. We are all the worst with ourselves. We are our worst enemies when we're looking in the mirror and we're doing everything. Totally. So brutal to ourselves.
I know, it's crazy.
People don't realize how bad they're. I do that with myself and go, dude, your self talk right now is vile.
Yeah,
I've been trying to like make less self deprecating jokes.
Yeah, that's.
I'll be like, sorry, I'm late. I'm like, I'm just so dumb and bad at organizing time.
Right,
and I'm like,
maybe don't say that about myself.
I know I'm joking, quote unquote, in the moment.
Yeah, but it
starts to add up.
It's really easy to do that. It's almost like saying like the F word in like conversations really casually. It's a really easy word. It's high emotions. It's a high volatile reaction for people that gets people kind of on your side. So, it's what a sensational.
That's what it
person.
Is. It's trying to get the room on your side.
It's trying to get the room on your side, and it's very kind of like, look what I can do, look what I can do. But it's a higher level, it's a higher spectrum sort of like thing to be like, no, because I do that all the time. I edit jokes out of my videos where I'll be like, oh yeah, you know, I edited a joke out of my last video to where I was like, and this is, I did like a house tour thing that was disguised as a different video. And I was like, this is my shower. And because of quarantine and everything, I've used it 4 times. Ha 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 ha. It's like, that's not true.
Right.
Yeah.
I love showering. Yeah. Why would I do that dumb joke?
I definitely shower twice a day. So. Yeah.
I love showering. I love the vibes in there. I like meditate in the shower. I'm like a total weirdo. I love
you
hygiene.
You love it.
Like,
right.
Why am I going to go
why
for this?
Why am I throwing myself under the bus?
Yeah.
Incorrectly.
Yeah. But it's a very real thing. I get it, especially being on the internet where people love self-depreciating humor. Deprecating?
Yeah.
What's the word? So, yeah, sometimes I don't know words and I just commit to them.
Also, I've heard it's like if you insult yourself first, then you're prepared for like whatever people throw at you.
Right.
Exactly. But thanks for asking that. Again, this is so weird because I want to be like, what about you guys? I always want to,
I feel like we've talked about ourselves a bunch.
We talked about ourselves plenty.
We're in it.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess that is the point.
Can I just say one thing about myself? Mark, I am tipsy from 3 sips of this drink. So
I know. I feel buzzed
you.
Too. I feel like that's why I got a little quieter. I was like, am I?
And I'm a tank and I would like another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our last question is always the worst question ever, but we'll never stop because we love it.
What if it was something so bad, like just comically bad?
It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
When do you think you're going to die? And what will be the look in your mother's eye?
What trauma? No. I actually warned him about this question.
Good.
Because we always get so insecure about this
question. But we got listen, maybe this is an opportunity to not be self-deprecating.
This podcast is so like high frequency, like good vibes.
Like, and then we're like
gossip.
But listen, that's who
we
are.
Let's hit the bottom of the barrel of frequencies.
This is so funny. I feel like you're not going to, well, okay. What is the question?
Do you have any gossip?
This is so funny. You know what? I'm not trying to high road this, I promise. Because like, first of all, what does gossip look like?
It's getting hard. It's getting hard. Everyone's like, my room looks the same as it did.
My Aunt Rebecca got fired from the shop that she worked at in 1998. Yeah. No, right. I don't know.
My coworker signed off Zoom a little bit early.
Yeah.
Exactly. I promise this isn't me just averting the question because I am not a gossip-based person. Listen, you guys asked me to be on this podcast, so you're getting this answer. Again, not trying to high road you, but it's really true.
I kind of knew that going into this.
There's this idea on the internet of like shade and tea and stuff.
Yeah.
And I find it, and this is okay to say, sometimes I want to check myself before I say things, right? Because we're all really good about doing that. And it's a really good instinct nowadays to be politically responsible and to check yourself and go, is that okay to say? Sometimes I do that in my head and I go, yeah, this is okay to say because it's what I genuinely feel. I think the culture of shade and tea and gossip and talking about other people and bringing other people down and doing all that stuff is really, vile.
It's ruined the internet.
And by the way, I understand that the way that you're asking it is a cute, fun. I know the energy in this house.
Yeah.
I know the energy in this room. You guys are asking it in a fun, silly, cute way, and I could probably give you a better answer. Again, that's why I'm like,
no,
I'm not trying
to. I think it's really interesting.
Because you guys are asking
it.
I
love your take on it.
Yeah. You're asking it in a really cute way and stuff, and I get that, and I love that. And I really, truly, if I could think of a good piece of gossip, I'd give it to you. But I do want to just take any platform on the internet that I can to go like, there's something better than that. Like talking about other people and being obsessed with their downfalls, like I've seen so many people in my life be, leads to just this spiritual death. Because when you're thinking so much about other people, you're not doing the work for yourself.
Yeah.
So it is, and by the way, I am so susceptible to that energy. again, everything
yeah,
I say.
Yeah, we all are.
We all are. Everything I say is never coming from a place of like, oh, like I'm so good at this. I'm always like mm-hmm. fighting that kind of thing all the time to be like, no. Because sometimes I want to do that. I want to yeah. click on that thing or I want to mm-hmm. whatever. And I go like, that is so not it. Why right. are you?
Why is it human nature to be so obsessed with that? I get anxious.
Oh my God, have you guys read Sapiens? I'm so sorry. I literally said a sentence in the wrong tense and I interrupted you and then I stuttered. No. I think I'm wasted from three sips.
We're officially retiring this question from the podcast.
By the way, I'm obsessed with Reddit, which yeah. can be a really fun, wholesome place.
Uh-huh. And I like Reddit,
yeah, it's awesome. And I saw this question about like, what's a, it's Andrew and I talked about this on our last podcast, just constantly plugging the podcast. It's called Sleep. No,
sweet boys.
And we were talking about this because there was a question on there, like a post that blew up that said, "What's a seemingly mundane question that, based on the response of the person, can tell you a lot wow. about their person?"
Oh, that's cool.
And I thought that was so.
What
interesting.
Were some of the responses?
Yeah, some of the responses. I mean, I commented. Yeah. I commented and I said, you know, do you like music?
Mm.
Which is a funny question because of course everyone would go, of course I love music.
Yeah.
And they could go, I love music. I don't know what I'd be without music.
Yeah.
And that tells you a lot about their personality. Or they could go, yeah, yeah, kind of like, no, I don't know, not really.
I used to listen more as a kid, but not
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's a million
yeah,
different takes on that.
Totally.
But I almost feel like your gossip question
could be one of those.
Is one of those, yeah.
Do you have any gossip? It's very telling about who's on the other side of that question.
Because maybe they yeah. instantly start talking shit. Maybe yeah. they say,
and a lot
I don't
of times
really
people say, like we had Paul Nicklin, a photographer, and he was like, my gossip is I'm getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's kind of like a gossip of themselves, you know, and it's kind of like, ooh, congrats, you
yeah.
know.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
And Kevin was like, I just got married and this is how it happened. Yeah.
I do. And believe me, sometimes it's so tempting to just want to do that, to mm-hmm. be like, I mean, there's a piece of it because I thought about that and I was like, there is something that I know.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we know.
No,
as
of course.
Humans, and I'll absolutely tell you after the camera.
Yeah.
After the microphone, no, I'm joking. Kind of. No. But no, it is it's a funny thing. But yeah, I didn't mean for that to sound
no,
like
it wasn't.
Sort of,
it's very interesting. I really appreciated
it. I love
it. I think it's
so
a really
much.
Cool perspective.
Because okay, yeah, I get it too. It's like, yeah, I understand
yeah.
the allure of that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll Google who like Michael Fassbender is dating or like something.
Nana.
So quick.
He is dating Nana.
Laura Croft? Oh, your Nana. Oh, sorry. Yeah, he married the actress Alicia Vikander. How do you say her name?
Oh, she's a babe. She's beautiful.
Oh, I Valkyrie?
Know. Yeah.
No. Oh.
I know what you're talking about. She's
who plays Valkyrie?
Well, her biggest role was actually the one with Oscar Isaac where she's the robot.
Yeah.
What's the movie called?
Alicia Vikander? Vikander?
Yeah. Lucky gal.
Oh, Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. And
I love
and,
that movie. That was so good.
Yeah, that was probably her like biggest role. And then obviously she did the Tomb Raider film as well.
Yeah.
So we're ending this on me saying you're very lucky. I'm very excited for you for marrying Michael Fassbender. No, I'm joking. Weirdest note ever to end it on.
That was amazing.
No, that was amazing.
So inspiring and interesting and like such a perfect guest.
It's like
podcast.
The dream podcast.
Yes,
like really
thank
getting
you
into
so
the nitty gritty.
Well,
yes.
I don't know what I feel like just a constant like emotional bag lady just dropping things.
I love it. I think
no, I want you to be my therapist. Yeah, this is my formal request.
This is our formal therapy session.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for
that
doing
that.
That
was unbelievable.
Yes.
If my ranting has meant anything to anyone in the vicinity of me, thank you. That's
it's meant
nice.
More than you know. Thank so, you. So interesting. Everybody listen to your podcast.
Yes, Sweet Boys.
Yes.
They already are.
Yeah.
You know what?
Hopefully we have some Sweet Boys listeners now.
Yeah.
Oh, if we listen, we don't know what we're doing over there. And I think there's magic in that though. And yeah. I was, yeah, if you don't know what you want to do creatively, just
no, we
jump
we
in.
Don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we found out that we're in the top 3% of listened to podcasts last year.
Yes.
And we were like, what? This was a mistake.
Well, congratulations.
You know?
Yeah.
Love
awesome.
That.
That's really cool. Yeah, that is so beautiful. And I'm so glad you guys started this and I'm so honored that you had me on and thank you. I'm so glad to be here. This is so fun.
Yeah,
yes,
this has been amazing.
We had the best time.
Now let's go watch the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Right, the football.
Yes,
the
it's very fun
game.
Fun men teams.
Mm. So I don't know which ones, but there's two of them.
Something.
There's two. Oh, you know a lot about sports. No, I know nothing about sports. Let's go watch the commercials in between and maybe the halftime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thank you guys.
Bye guys, love you.